Yes, happy Friday to you. It is a four-quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams are here with you. We won't bury the lead. We have big news to share with you. But if you love high school sports and the state of South Carolina, you're in the right place. And your life just got better and hopefully easier. We have a new partnership to announce. Comes on a day when we're also going to be talking with Dorman baseball coach Jack Jolly. We're going to talk to him as his team prepares to play for the Region 2 5A championship and obviously some playoff seeding, playoff implications with Jack Jolly, one of those teams that we've got our eyes firmly glued to as we roll into the playoff season for softball and baseball. We also have Austin Alexander joining us from the Diamond Prospects. He was in the crow's nest. He was right where he needed to be to check out one of the top recruits in the state of South Carolina firing a no-hitter last night. And let's not forget about football. One of our big recruits from Woodruff, Aiden Gibson, has an announcement coming up. We have news there that Rob Williams will fill you in on. And spring camps opening across the Palmetto State. That is happening today. So there is a lot of news to unpack. But that's from the sports side. We've got great news for you. Rob, I'll let you, because you were really somewhat instrumental in this, I'll let you go ahead and make the announcement, something we are excited about. I say your life just got better if you love high school sports in the state of South Carolina, because we are on the cusp of doing something special and growing fast.
Well, good morning, Smitty. It's good to be here. I want to say a good morning to everybody who's here watching and listening with us. That's a mouthful. You okay? You need a sip of water? Do you need some coffee, Smitty, before we go on to the next thing?
I could have kept rolling. There's so much happening. You know, it's such a great time of year and so much happening, but I wanted to tee you up to share some big news, and I don't want to let it sit for too long because we are so excited. We have been almost like biting our lips doing this show, knowing that this was coming down the pipe. And I'll let you make the announcement, and then I'll talk more about it.
No more dangling the carrot, everybody. We are excited to let you know that fourquarterfriday.com will launch in partnership with On3 and Rivals later this month. Fourquarterfriday.com, the website, in addition to your show here every Friday and our current social presence, YouTube presence, the website is going to be groundbreaking in what it allows us to do to cover your favorite teams, but also how it allows you to be involved in that as well. So we're excited about everything that it brings. More details, obviously, are to come. But the month is finally here, Smitty. May has gotten here. We've got spring ball in high school football in the state of South Carolina, and we've got fourquarterfriday.com coming right here in the month of May.
That's right. You can see the little, there it is, On3 Rivals right there. We're so happy to partner with them. And of course, so much happens behind the scenes. You know, what this is, the finished product of the work that JC Sherbert and Jamie Bradford and Phil Molnax and others do. And we are so happy. We have been watching them do the heavy lifting behind the scenes. And we are proud to partner with On3 Rivals. And, of course, this goes for the entire Chief Sports Network. So it's going to grow. We're going to put it in front of you. We're going to be able to do things we weren't able to do before. It's going to make things better for the sports fans here in the state of South Carolina. And, look, JC's been through a lot lately. So the heavy lifting that he's done, that's incredible. The love that we get and support from Jamie Bradford and Phil Molnax and everybody. You and I have a lot of fun covering high school sports, doing the show. Obviously, you do inside the SEC or SEC Sunday night as well. But we're happy to finally tell you this news. We're happy that it's going to happen because this is going to be better for the coaches. Right there, you see the logo, the South Carolina Coaches Athletic Coaches Association. Couldn't have done this without them and their partnership. That's why we've made it to this point. And Four Quarter Friday is going to continue to grow. And this is good for the players. It's good for the parents. It's good if you care about high school sports in the state of South Carolina. So that's, you and I are willing to do the hard work. JC, JB, Phil, they do the hard work. And now, hopefully, what's next is the word gets out, the word spreads, and everybody's going to get to enjoy fourquarterfriday.com coming this month.
No doubt about it. There's so much going on. I want to remind everybody as well that we are presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, and so thankful for everything that they do for sports around the state. We're also, Smitty, coming to you live from the Hewitt Diamondouros Law Studios. We'll call it the HD Law Studios here on Four Quarter Friday, hdlawsc.com, where you can find Brad and Dean for personal injury insurance claims. You fell up the stairs. You got bitten by the neighbor's dog. You need a restaurant recommendation. You call Brad and Dean for anything, and they're not the big name guys that are going to pass you on to somebody else, but they've won tens of millions of dollars for their clients, and they want to be a part of your story just as we do. You know, I love that, Smitty. Somebody who is here in this state, covering across the state, and just planted in these communities, and that is the heart that Brad and Dean have at Hewitt Diamondouros. So we're excited to be here in the HD Law Studios, hdlawsc.com. We do have a lot going on today. I'll say this bit of news up top as well. Four Quarter Friday Spring Football Tour begins today. We've been hard at work the last month speaking with coaches and kind of prepping our notes and coverage for the month of May, and gotten to see some teams working out. We've gotten to hear from some coaches about who we should be looking out for on rosters across the state. And today we're going to, I'm going to hit the road and we're going to start looking at teams. Right now we have over 30 teams that we'll get a chance to look at in the month of May. And we'll be bringing you coverage of all those as we go, as we look at top-notch facilities from the Class A level all the way up to 5A. We're covering it all. So don't think just because you're at one level or another that you're going to get more or less coverage. We are here for the entirety of the state, and we care about the communities and the fans who are here listening and watching with us today. So it's going to be a great day. While we're talking football, Smitty, before we jump to that first break, I will mention Aiden Gibson, who previously had a commitment date set today. Aiden's going to commit on May the 12th. There's a big party happening, and the commitment will happen at 7 p.m. Just following that commitment, we will have an interview with Aiden that will go up on all of our channels as well. So we'll get to talk to him about that commitment as soon as that is announced, again, May 12th at 7 p.m.
And again, Aiden is from Woodruff, one of the highly coveted running backs in this state. And you've been tracking this for a while, Rob, and he's got a senior season coming up at Woodruff, so the Wolverines get to enjoy him one more time. And tell us who those finalists are, so who Aiden is going to be announcing for between, it's like down to three, I think.
Yeah, so the top three there are Penn State, Rutgers, and South Carolina. He has a top five announced, but that was an on three announcement to kind of narrow it down there. So we are excited about what's going to happen there, and we'll continue to cover him. I know that Woodruff is going to be proud no matter what his decision is.
All right, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So that's, you are all over everything that is happening in all of these spring camps. And to me, what fascinates me, two things about the spring camps coming up and as we're going to be on these campuses, is one, the realignment. So we've got, everybody has a new schedule, right? I mean, almost everybody has a schedule that they're not accustomed to playing for one reason or another. Either you've got new non-con, you're certainly going to have new region opponents because of the realignment, and then maybe you've got changes in your non-league schedule, and that will be something we'll be watching for. Obviously, some teams moved up, some moved down. Gaffney, I think, is in 4A now. Watch out, 4A. Just with their tradition and their history. But there's a lot of teams that have shifted due to realignment. We're going to focus on that. And one thing that's cool, Rob, is you and I will be two of the first people that get to put our eyes on players that will make an impact, because a lot of us knew the seniors that helped lead teams on championship runs last year. But then what happens with those guys that have been in the weight room going sophomore to junior that are going to make impact across the state? And then you get to see them, even though there won't be a lot of hitting. It's spring camp. I don't know if they can hit at all. Do they hit it all in spring now?
They do a little bit, yeah. So you're going to get 3 days of helmets, shells, basically, and then you can go shoulder pads after that.
They do thud. They do
after
the thud.
That acclimation period. Yep. They will do some thudding. So So I'll be interested to see. You know, I'm going to get a few practices in here in the beginning and just see guys move around in shells, and then we'll obviously get to see some action as they get into the pads. And some schools do still have a spring game. It kind of varies from program to program, and so we'll get an opportunity to get a look at some of those as well. Coming up here, as you mentioned before, we have Austin Alexander from Diamond Prospects coming in on the Leading Edge fundraising guest line. Leading Edge is a one-stop shop for all of your fundraising needs. For any coaches or players out there, they do it better than anybody else. More money in less time, just 1 hour. Let Leading Edge do the work for you. We'll be back in a minute with Austin Alexander here on the Four Quarter Friday and the Leading Edge guest line.
Check the state high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
If you have experienced any sort of damage to your home or business, smoke, water, fire, or mold, visit RestaProsMidlandsSC.com, proud supporters of South Carolina High School Athletics.
Leading Edge Fundraising is the number one fundraising solution in South Carolina for middle and high schools, club teams, and colleges. At Leading Edge, a personal representative does the work for you to make more money in just 1 hour. Leading Edge is your solution. It's a one-stop shop for over 10 different fundraising options that all run off the same proven process. Don't stress about insufficient budgets or lack of materials. Contact Leading Edge today and raise funds fast. Leading Edge, South Carolina. Raise more, do more, win more. LeadingEdgeFundraising.com.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Back on Four Quarter Friday, Matt Smith, Rob Williams. Time now to visit with Austin Alexander on the Leading Edge guest line. Austin from thediamondprospects.com. And Austin, as somebody that is taking in the top players in South Carolina, you were right where you needed to be last night. Carson Bowman, Southside Christian, throws a no-hitter against River Bluff, 1-0. You saw a classic pitcher's duel. So first of all, welcome, and then we'll hand it off to you. Tell us what you saw last night from one of those players that not only does every college team covet, but a lot of the big leagues team covet as well.
Absolutely. Good to be back with you guys since I was on the show last time. I didn't realize how big your show was here. As soon as I got off last time and started seeing it everywhere, I realized how big of a deal you guys are. So good to be back with you and talking some baseball right here, obviously on the precipice of the high school playoffs. Baseball playoffs are starting next week across the public schools anyway. Yeah, I saw a good one last night. It was a non-conference game. The story of the spring really has been that it hasn't rained very much. So Very seldom are you finding teams, at this point in the season that are full with their schedules. A lot of times teams are two or three games down, searching to try to get their games in before the playoffs start. Not so this year, but there were two teams, obviously, that were down a game. They found each other, a partner to play. I was at Winthrop last night. It was a beautiful ballpark. It was a beautiful night for baseball. And, of course, you got our state's top player. He's been the most decorated player probably come through our state, certainly as a pitcher in the DP era, which is 21 years now. And boy, what a good one he is. He was on display. There were no shortage of scouts there. I would say somewhere in the range of 50 to 60 scouts were on hand. And a lot of times one good measuring stick is to see, how a guy's doing in terms of the draft and the outlook of where he may get selected in the draft. As you look around the scouts, you don't see a lot of guys you recognize. That means you've got some higher ups that are flying in, not driving in. They had to catch flights to get to Charlotte, to get down to Rock Hill last night to see that. And so plenty of radar guns, plenty of guys that are higher ups in the sport to see Carson Bowman. He didn't disappoint. 1-0 ball game. And they had a young man, his catcher actually had a home run. That was the only run in the ball game. And boy, I tell you, when it got to be 1-0, that seemed like climbing Mount Everest for the opponent because he was just rolling right through hitters. And he throws a no-hitter, punches out 18 in the process. We've seen him before. He made some money last night.
Awesome. We've broached this topic before, but on that note, just for a moment, I want to ask you about the state of South Carolina. What does the attention that comes with something like that say about how great of a baseball state this is? When you talk about scouts and higher-ups catching flights to come in, I think that this is a platform where we want to celebrate that and elevate that this is a baseball state. What does that mean for not just Carson Bowman and not just his team, but for the state in general?
That's a really good point. And what's interesting too, and for obviously with Carson throwing on Thursday night, that there's not a lot of college activity going on other than some Division II tournaments that started up yesterday. It really turned as a good opportunity for a lot of these scouts to double dip in our state. Many of the scouts that I talked to that were there last night, nobody was going to miss Bowman's appearance, his outing. But the night before, a lot of them had been kind of divided in between going to James Island to see Taj Marchand at James Island. Mm-hmm. And then Bo Lawrence was playing up in the upstate at Chapman the night before. He plays for Christ Church. So a lot of them had been to see one hitter. The other had gone to see the other hitter and, of course, stayed in the Palmetto State to stick around and be able to catch the Bowman show last night. So that, those are the three main names when it comes to professional baseball. Ethan Offing out of Dutch Fork is a football name you guys know. He's got some attention. William Cutshaw from Seneca's got some pro attention too. Those are the main five, but really those three are the ones that get serious attention that could certainly see their names called pretty early on in the draft that's coming up here in a couple months.
Austin Alexander joining us. I invite you to go to thediamondprospects.com if you like baseball, just like baseball. They cover so much as we're talking about here. This is all professional on down to high school is all going to be immersed in what they're talking about. We've got Jack Jolly coming up in a little bit, Austin, the head coach for Dorman, and he's got some college guys, some D1 attention and some commits on his team. And I want you to tell me a little bit about Region 2 5A. Like, I played at Dorman. How can I feel bad for Boiling Springs? But I kind of feel bad for Boiling Springs and Spartanburg this year, too. And Burns, really good clubs that are stuck in that region with just a buzzsaw that's been Dorman. But tell us about that region and if you've gotten to put eyes on those teams, because not just Dorman, but Boiling Springs and Spartan High and Burns, those are teams that are really good and have some really good talent.
Interesting you dragged me on here to have some good Dorman and Boiling Springs banter.
We only beat you guys once. I hit a double off Danny Ham in the county tournament, and I don't think we beat Boiling Springs again for the next 3 years.
Well, I was a little bit ahead of you, and Dorman gave us fits when I played. I was a Bulldog once upon a time, and they are good. Dorman's good. That region is really, really good. I've seen all those clubs play. And you mentioned four of them. They're all good. Dorman, obviously – has been my pick from the very beginning as to be the upper state representative. They're really good. I mean, they're just really good on the bump. They swing it. Their lineup is deep. They catch it. They're just a very good club and obviously well coached by Jack Jolly, who's done it a few times. He's won 600 games at the high school level, so no stranger to having success. And he's got a really good club. That roster is deep and really, really good. But that whole region is. You mentioned Woolen Springs. You know, they're playing very good baseball right now. They got Chance and Cole and Gavin Henderson's a kid that's always been interesting, very projectable arms, now finding the zone with frequency, and he's a handful when he takes the bump, low to mid 90s. I know he's been pumping some numbers, and also putting up statistics too by getting hitters out. I think he's either 7-0 or 8-0. So he's throwing the ball well. And Burns, I saw them at the Opterra early in the season. They won the Opterra tournament, which was a good 8-team field that they ran through coming right out of a Spartanburg County tournament. So they were on fumes when they showed up and then won against a pretty good group of teams there. I really like their team. Also well-coached, Taylor Hollifield does a tremendous job. He's on our DP team. He works all of our events, and we rely heavily on him. But he's become a tremendous head coach, rising star in the coaching community. And of course, that roster is really good. Love a lot of those players that are on there. Jack Bailey is a guy that I know you probably followed a little bit, maybe in basketball, also a two-sport guy who's swinging the bat real well. But they're good on the mound. Spartanburg, you mentioned, like I said, that's just a tough, tough region. They've got some very good young players that are coming. There are three McCrorys on that team. Two are brothers, one's a cousin, and those guys are pretty good. I think, you know, there's other teams where they may stack up a little better against Spartanburg from what I've seen is maybe on the mound. Dorman just at the top. They're just trotting, you know, two guys that are going to be, you know, in the low 90s, going to get pro attention next year in Connor Wells and Brennan New. Those two guys are certainly a handful anytime they take the mound. So you got those two guys at the top, but then you got Christian Musselwhite, who's going to bump some upper 80s, and on down McGarity and some other guys that pitch in and throw. And then you got Hornick back. Palmer Hornick's, you know, arguably one of the best baseball players in our state in the senior class for sure. Just a two-way guy that they've been able to get back on the mound. Typically, they use him in the closing role behind those other studs that they got. So, yeah, Dorman's just going to be really tough down the stretch. And of course, you got James Island in the low country, also very good. But, the region you just mentioned, you know what, historically has been good and is as good right now as it's ever been for sure.
It's 9:25 here, and we have Austin Alexander on Four Quarter Friday. Austin, you mentioned Dorman and James Island at that 5A level. What about some other teams? As we look at the playoff picture, we're right on the cusp of it. Who are your favorites in terms of if we are going to say these are the most likely teams that we're going to see in state championships in just a few weeks here? Who would you kind of call out maybe at some of those other levels?
Well, in 5A Division One, we predicted Dorman and James Island to play in the final series. That would still – it'd be hard-pressed to get me off of that as the two finalists at the very end representing the upper state and the low country. Then you got Boyle Springs we mentioned as well. Blythewood's on a 20-game heater right now, or 21. They've got Lexington, I think, tonight. Lexington's playing their best baseball of the season. Right now as well. They're hot. They end up coming on late and winning the region in the Columbia area. So that'd be a good non-conference matchup. Both of them will have buys going into the 5A playoffs. So, you know, Blythewood's interesting. They were a team that we would have predicted high in the very beginning, but they lost their ace before the season. He's a guy, Johnny Collins is a guy signed with the College of Charleston, had a tremendous year last year as a junior, went down. And from what I understand, he's still going to have surgery at the end of the year, but the doctors have said he can't hurt it any worse. So if he wants to pitch and he can deal with it, he can deal with it. He can pitch. And he's been throwing and throwing well for them. So a team that was already playing very good baseball basically got their ace back midseason, like I guess a lot of teams would do in the big leagues. You know, with that acquisition at the trade deadline, they get their guy back. And so I think Blythewood's going to be very dangerous. One of the better hitters in our state, too. That's going to Florence Darlington Tech. Amari Counts is dangerous. That whole lineup is pretty good, but you stick him right in the middle of it, and that's the one that you pencil and you say, that's the guy you don't want to hurt you. Amari Counts is a handful. He hits in the three-hole form, and they're awfully, awfully good too. Caroline Forest once a week is going to be a handful. In the sense, they got Parker Revis, Parker Revis is, he had a hiccup in his last outing. And I've had the fortunate, I've had a front row seat to a lot of his outings dating back to his freshman year. He hadn't had a lot of rough nights. He had one in his last outing. So I don't know what the status is. If he's healthy, then you know, he's going to be a nightmare for whoever draws him. Of course, with them getting a bye, winning that region over to, over on the coast, he'll be sitting there waiting on whoever comes out of these play-in tournaments. So they'll get him first in that first-round game that starts next Saturday. So those are the teams that I think that you know, really have earned the right to be in this conversation today based on their regular season, whether it be the headliners that they've got, whether it be on the mound or in the lineup, or just the season they've had. Those are the teams, I think, going into it. Somebody's going to have to beat them. But that can happen. This is 5A baseball. There are a lot of good players that are gracing the fields. And when you step between the lines, man, we all know anything can happen. But those are the teams that I feel like right now that, you know, one, I mean, the fact they've got byes mean they can't lose next week. So that, just the fact that you know they're going to be sitting there, you know, when these other teams are coming in on fumes after their play-ins, they're going to be sitting there with their ace stacked up, pitching lined up, rested. Now, rest or rust is always an argument for teams. You know, when you've got, you know, 5 days, 7 days off, sometimes, you know, a baseball's tough to play when you've had that much time off. But I think most people would certainly prefer to have the bye, and those guys have earned that.
We had a question in the chat, and Austin, I hope you can do this in about 30 seconds. I know a lot of regions that are decided tonight, including Region 2, 5A. If Dorman beats Spartanburg, they wrap up the region. If they don't, they share it with Jeff Lipscomb and Boiling Springs. But we had a question in the chat about 5A D1, who will get the 1-3 seeds. Has that been settled yet?
All that will be settled tomorrow based on tonight. I would imagine Dorman will be the one seed. I would think that Boiling Springs I don't know what happens with Boiling Springs if they don't share the title with Dorman. I don't know exactly how that falls. Honestly, you know, I'm not much of a bracketologist. What I like to do, instead of see that thing change a million times, I like to look at it right before they start playing baseball games, before I really weigh in on exactly what I think is going to happen. Because with the RPI, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is the RPI is just a variable. It really does come down the way these things are slotted for the most part is their region finish more than necessarily their RPI. So, you know, teams that play tougher schedules, you know, you think that that would benefit them. It doesn't necessarily as much as people may think. Really the region finish is going to determine a lot of times where guys are seeded and teams that they'll play first. So I don't know exactly who will actually get those three byes. I know, you know, because, and here's the thing, some of the region champions are also 5A Division II. Right. And so that affects things too. So you may have a team that finishes second in another region. If the region winner is a 5A Division II team, you know, obviously they fall up to the D2 brackets. And that's where it gets a little confusing for this Boiling Springs graduate that went to a junior college out of high school. Those things get a little complicated for me. So I'm not sure exactly what those pairings are going to look like and who's actually got the buys. I know the region winners are going to get buys, and we know that they will not open up until Saturday.
Okay. Well, you know what? Are you going to have those on your site?
100%. And those are actually on – the brackets are all already on our site. So when you go to thediamondprospects.com, okay, we'll have all kind of playoff information. Now, Corey and I will go in, and once the pairings are set, we'll go get the game times. We'll get the starting pitchers for the coaches that will share that. Some are a little secretive with that kind of thing. But once they give us the arms, we'll put all that on the website for everybody to have. It's great for college coaches because when they're trying to find games, they know that may tip the scales in terms of where they're going to go. But those brackets are there. Now, what we do is we just link to the high school league brackets. So you can find them on the high school league website. But if you go straight to Diamond Prospects, you'll be able to see it right there on the right side under DP Central. All those are linked for 5A Division 1 and 2, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, and the Skeezer stuff is also on there. So if you're looking for a quick, you know, what's going on, if the high school league has updated, and they're pretty quick and get those things in. When finals happen, they usually pop those things on, even the night of the games. But now what we'll probably be even a little step ahead of what they do is on our score, or excuse me, our prep schedules and pitching probables. As soon as we know games are final, we're putting those things in. And that'll give people an idea of not only who won that night, but also what's next.
Austin, we couldn't ask for more. We will also, so we're at Four Quarter SC. Austin and Corey are at Diamond Prospect on X, and we will link to you guys linking to that on your website, the Diamond Prospects. You're the best, Austin. Enjoy all that baseball. I might run into you at a game. Rob might run into you at a game. And we'll stay in touch through text and X and everything else and have you back on soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. See you guys.
Thank you. That is Austin Alexander, the Diamond Prospects. I love what they do because I'll say this as we head to break because we've got Jack Jolly from Dorman High School standing by. They shine a light on all of these players, which helps not only the Carson Bowmans of the world, who don't need help because he's going to get drafted. He's a Wake Forest commit, but he's going to get drafted very highly. And the Palmer Hornicks and everything, that you know, he's a Virginia Tech commit and all of those guys. But it's then shining a light and putting attention on the players that can land at Division II or land at junior colleges like Florence Darling Tech or SMC. It's just a great thing, which is why we keep them close and love to bring you that information. And all of that, we'll break that interview down for you, pull it apart, and have it for you on YouTube. So just find us. The easiest way to do that is at Four Quarter SC on YouTube, Four Quarter Friday, and coming soon this month, FourQuarterFriday.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're digging deep into Dorman baseball with head coach Jack Jolly.
Leading Edge Fundraising is the number one fundraising solution in South Carolina for middle and high schools, club teams, and colleges. At Leading Edge, a personal representative does the work for you to make more money in just 1 hour. Leading Edge is your solution. It's a one-stop shop for over 10 different fundraising options that all run off the same proven process. Don't stress about insufficient budgets or lack of materials. Contact Leading Edge today and raise funds fast. Leading Edge, South Carolina. Raise more, do more, win more. LeadingEdgeFundraising.com.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
And welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you, and we have Dorman head baseball coach Jack Jolly joining us. Coach Jolly is at the helm of one of the top teams in our state. Coach, we really appreciate you carving out a little time for us. And look, obviously, I know you've got the playoffs on your mind. You want to set up your pitching. There's a lot going on. But as we get started in this conversation about your team, I have been fascinated by your double play combination. I think it's great that you've got two kids that are eventually going to be Division I players playing right there up the middle. Like a lot of good baseball teams, you're strong up the middle.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate y'all, letting me talk a little bit about Dorman baseball today. In my opinion, of course, it's my team, and I'm a little biased, but I think they're the best double play combo in the state, and just really enjoy watching them.
This is Four Quarter Friday live on the Chief Sports Network, and we'll be right back after this to finish that interview with Coach Jolly.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
And welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you. And we have Dorman head baseball coach Jack Jolly joining us. Coach Jolly is at the helm of one of the top teams in our state. Coach, we really appreciate you carving out a little time for us. And look, obviously, I know you've got the playoffs on your mind. You want to set up your pitching. There's a lot going on. But as we get started in this conversation about your team, I have been fascinated by your double play combination. I think it's great that you've got two kids that are eventually going to be Division I players playing right there up the middle. Like a lot of good baseball teams, you're strong up the middle.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate y'all, you know, letting me talk a little bit about Dorman baseball today. But yeah, in my opinion, of course, it's my team and I'm a little biased, but I think they're the best double play combo in the state, and just really, really enjoy watching them every day on practice, at games. I mean, it's just remarkable the work that they put in, how they, you know, work together. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. You know, States Farm and Palmer Hornick are two of the best that I've ever coached at that position together.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, when I saw you guys at the Forest Acres Classic, States Farm had that inside the park home run and really showcased the speed out there. Both of these guys are stars for you, but you've got quite the lineup, and your guys are getting a lot of college interest as well, if not already committed. So talk a little bit about what it's like to be involved with these guys who are clearly going to go on and do things at the next level. How does that reflect back on Dorman baseball in the years to come?
Yeah, well, you know, States and Palmer have been very good leaders. You know, they know they're settled on where they're going, and their leadership provides helps other guys who are interested in playing understand what does it take, you know, to play at that next level. We have a couple of seniors that going into the season, they had okay junior years, didn't really know if they wanted to play college baseball or not, but they're having outstanding senior years, and now they're getting a lot of interest. One of them is Braylon Dean at first base. He has been outstanding. One of the things going into the season is we, you know, we're saying, hey, who are we going to bat behind Palmer Hornick to protect him? And we put Braylon Dean there, and he's done an unbelievable job all season long. And he's getting a lot of attention to play at the next level. And he's going to have an opportunity at some point, and we're really excited about that. The other is our center fielder, Luke Thompson, who bats number two. He's in between States and Palmer, and his job is either to help, you know, if States doesn't steal a bag, get him over so Palmer can get him in, you know. His job is just to get Palmer to the plate with a chance to drive in a run. But he's an elite defender. He's played really good for us this year, and, you know, he's getting some opportunities too. So it's really fun to watch these guys, you know, come into their own and get opportunities. And now that presents younger players, when the coaches are coming to see these older guys, now these younger guys are starting to get their names out there because they're playing well and people are seeing them because of the older guys. So it just trickles down, and you just hope that it continues year after year.
Well, Coach, I know it's been a lot of fun, winning 12 out of 13 in region. And if I've got it right, you're going to play for the region championship tonight. So tell us about that and how things are set up, the structure of the playoffs, how you're going to set up your pitching, and you can even throw out some of those names for us.
Yeah, so Connor Wells threw Tuesday night and threw really well for us, and his last two games have been outstanding, and he's peaking at the right time. He's a junior that's committed to LSU, and then we have Brennan New, who's committed to Arkansas, will be our starter tonight. He missed one start because he had a little bit of a setback, a minor, crick in his neck, for lack of a better words, and just wasn't able to go. So we're looking forward to getting him back on the mound and watching him pitch against Spartanburg. And yeah, we can win it outright tonight, and that's what we want to do. We don't want to be co-champions. We want to win it outright and get that number one seed, which will really set us up in the playoffs to have some home field advantage. It'll give us a first round bye. You know, the teams that are playing in, I have to play like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. We will not play again till Saturday, which, you know, having that time off concerns you a little bit. But we went through it last year, and we feel like we have a pretty good idea how to navigate through that and get our guys ready to play. And like you said, set our pitching rotation. We have a third starter, Logan McGarity, that is available. He can throw relief, but he'll probably start for us if we need him in the playoffs. And then Christian Musselwhite has been outstanding. He has started for us. He's been a reliever. You know, we have four really good guys there, and we have some depth. The only problem is these guys have thrown so well that we haven't really had a chance to use a lot of the other guys. So this next week could be good for us to get them on the mound in competitive situations and our players to get live at bats.
Coach, you've scheduled really well, I think, and you get some opportunities like in the Classic in Georgetown and the Forest Acres Classic, where Matt and I both were able to see you guys play over the course of the year against some top talent from across the state and even outside of the state. But I want to ask a little bit about the region specifically. How does that level of competition kind of prepare you for this point of the year where you're going on a tough playoff run? Because there are a few teams right there around you in the upstate that are highly competitive.
Yeah, they are. And you look at our region this year, and you look at the RPI, and we have three teams that's in the top five. So our region, I think, has been the toughest in the 5A upper state this year. And, you know, I can confidently tell our guys that with the tournaments they played in, the non-region schedule, and going through the gauntlet of our region, they won't play anybody in the playoffs that's any tougher. Like, they're battle-tested, and they're ready. It's just a matter of going out and executing and playing the game. So, you know, it gives you some confidence that you have played the toughest teams in the state, and you just got to continue to do what you do well.
Yeah, Coach, that's what I wanted to ask you about is maybe you can give us – love to pick the brain of a coach. Tell us who you think is out there that is going to be challenging in the upper state. Who are the teams that you've either seen or you know about there in the upper state that we absolutely have to keep our eyes on as we flip the calendar to the playoffs?
Well, it starts with Bowling Springs, who is, you know, just one game behind us. We split in the season this year. They have two really, really good starting pitchers, and then they have some others you know, that they can bring on too. They have a lineup that is relentless. I think there's somebody that is going to be really challenging. Blythewood's won like 20 games in a row. Mm-hmm. They're number two seed right now. I think they're going to have something to say about it before it's all said and done. You know, you got Burns in our region, Spartanburg, who's playing well right now. And then in the other region, you got JL Mann and Malden, who have really good pitching staffs. I mean, you know, you get a certain guy on a certain day, and he shuts you down. I mean, that's what is so hard about baseball, navigating through the playoffs. I mean, every game is unique and different because of who you can put on the mound. And so you face a team like JL Mann or Malden who has one of those stud pitchers, I mean, it could be a really tough day. But those are just some of the ones I think that, before it's all said and done, you know, may have something to say in the upper state.
That was something else I wanted to get to, Coach, which is you certainly understand that you've won a state championship. You know what it looks like in the playoffs and what can happen, what can go wrong, what can go right. What message do you give to those young players about the playoffs? Maybe how it's a little bit different because one bad inning or you get your pitching kind of thrown off, something can happen to you even though you're a really good team. So how do you take that message to those young players who haven't seen it the way your veterans have?
Yeah, it's all about matchups and how things are scheduled and how they navigate through. But you're right, you know, one bad day can, you know, either end your season or put you, you know, behind the eight ball. We're very fortunate that the guys who are playing now all have some experience from last year. And one of the things that they have is a bad taste in their mouth about how the season ended. It was a tough day when we lost at Lexington last year. And that's just kind of been a burning fire in these guys, you know, all year long about wanting to get back there and hopefully not letting that happen again. But our theme this year is win the one. We're trying to win one pitch at a time, one inning at a time, one game at a time. And one of the things I try to do is all season long, treat it that way so that when we get to the playoffs, it's nothing different. Like we're going to try to stay in the same routine. We're going to try to, you know, just do what we normally do and not make it bigger than it really is. Understanding that you got to win each pitch, you got to win each inning, and you win the game, and then you can go, you know, move on to the next one. And that's how we're going to try to, you know, keep our focus there.
Yeah, Coach, I'll follow up there as well, because you haven't had a lot of opportunities to respond to losses this season. You mentioned you split with Bowling Springs and then you lost one early in the Forest Acres Classic. I was sitting behind your radio guys there and they mentioned, you know, this is not a bad thing always when this team loses, because we see how they respond. How proud of them have you been this year in how they've responded, not just to those two losses, but just to the adversity that you see over the course of the year, injuries, a tough at bat, slump even. How have these guys, you look across the lineup and they seem to be very consistent. What can you say about that consistency?
Yeah, we have been consistent and their response to adversity has been outstanding. And that's one of the things that I think that helps us to be the club that we are, is the way that we respond. You know, our motto is that we're trying to learn, grow, and develop and get better every day. And whether it's a win or a loss, there's something we can learn from. There's something we can grow and get better. And they have embraced that. I mean, they've been fun to coach because they come hungry, wanting to, you know, get better each and every day. And so been proud of their, you know, willingness to learn and grow and develop from each moment. I think the love that our guys have for each other, I mean, I really think it makes a difference, because they pick each other up in the dugout. When somebody has a bad at bat or something, you can hear them talking to each other, you know, about, hey, let's move on to the next one. Let's put it behind us. And they're the ones who really help in that matter. And that's what makes it, you know, so special.
Now, this is Jack Jolly joining us, head coach for Dorman Baseball. Coach, I also want to pick your brain a little bit about maybe some of your friends in the industry. We'd love to hear coaches talk about other coaches. Who else is up there in the upstate or maybe in Region 2, 5A that you respect, who have built an identity with their clubs? Who are your friends in the business that you can tell us something about?
Wow. I hate to leave anybody out, but, you know, there's a lot of really, really good coaches, you know, in our region. You know, Jeff Lipscomb comes to mind at Bowling Springs. He's done it for a long time. Value the way he goes about his business and how he prepares his club. And it seems like they're just really consistently in the playoffs every year. You know, we've had a lot of battles with Brian Hucks and Mark Bonnet, you know, from Lexington and River Bluff. And, you know, when you go to the Midlands and you play those guys, you're in for a battle because they're well coached, they're battle tested, and they're always, you know, somehow, you know, they're at the end. It was neat being at the Forest Acres Classic with Andy Hallett. You know, I just admire what he's done. Wow, 7 state championships. I mean, it speaks for itself. But he's, you know, someone that be fortunate to be going into the South Carolina Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame with this year. Just looking forward to, you know, to that with, you know, going in with somebody like that you respect and think a lot of. And there's many, many others. I mean, there's, you know, all the coaches in our region are just quality guys, and you look forward to competing against them and so forth. And there's other guys in the upstate too. Like, you know, we played T.O. Hanna this year. You know, Crenshaw always does a good job over there. So, I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out, but there's a lot of guys that you know, think a lot of and respect what they do.
Coach, I want to zoom out and ask a little bit of a big picture question here about sports in general. You got a kid named Carter Nash, who's a freshman that excels on the football field as well. I've met with Coach Morris this spring too. And what is your opinion on guys who are multi-sport athletes? Do you see it have a benefit for them? We talk to a lot of college athletes or former professional athletes who would say that they grew up playing multiple sports, but we've gotten into a day and age where specialization is king. What's your opinion there? Do you like it when your guys are playing multiple things throughout the year?
We need more of them. I'll just be honest. You know, one of the things that I tried to do with my own personal kids is encourage them to play other sports. I think it helped them. There's things you can learn playing football and basketball that baseball just doesn't teach you, you know. And so when I see kids are starting at 8 and 9 years old and just playing one sport, I think sooner or later it's going to be a detriment to them. You know, either they get burned out or injury takes place or whatever it is. I just think that playing multiple sports or a variety of sports just helps you be more well-rounded, and you learn from other coaches and so forth. I'd love to see more guys play at least up until their high school. You know, once you get in high school, then you kind of narrow things down and figure out, you know, this is what I'm good at and what I want to do. But I would really like to see it happening more for the youth guys. I think it's important. Carter Nash is special. You know, he's going to be electric on the football field, and he's electric for us. And he's really coming on, you know, the past couple of weeks, and his bat is starting to get hot. And we're just looking forward to, I mean, the future is bright for that young man. And I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure that he will play football and baseball all the way through his high school career and maybe even in college.
Yeah, I was going to say, Coach, look, all credit to you. You are going into the Hall of Fame this year. But, man, the District 6 feeder programs in youth baseball right now, they served it up for you a little bit, right? You
have
LSU, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, Coastal, and that doesn't even include Carter Nash, who could end up playing college football.
That's right, yeah. Our District 6, you know, feeder programs are – really, really coming on strong. We had a youth night this year, and we had guys from one foul line to the other on the outside of the infield dirt lined up with the participation, and was just really excited to see all those youth players come out and, you know, hoping that it continues, because we're only as good as what they, you know, provide for us.
That is incredible. You've really built something there, Coach Jolly, that I know people in District 6 and up there in the upstate are very proud of. And, of course, you're going to challenge for a state championship this year. We'll let you get out of here. We know you have other duties, and we'll get you to practice and other things. But we've got to find out. I used to live there in Spartanburg for many, many years, but things may have changed. Where do you go for a barbecue sandwich? Where is it on the west side? Maybe your favorite Mexican restaurant. Tell us if anybody's going to travel to Dorman to see you guys play. You know, their team's coming up there to play you guys in the playoffs. Where do they need to grab a bite to eat before game time?
Well, Bubba's barbecue's pretty good over there by Costco. Grill 221 right down the road from Dorman High School is a good place to get a burger. Those are two places that I really enjoy. And finding a burger in Spartanburg is not very hard. those are a couple of places that are kind of our go-to that we enjoy very much.
That's not a health nut then. You're not a health nut then, Coach.
No, I need to be, but I enjoy some burgers and barbecue and things like that for sure.
Used to see Steve Tannehill at Grill 221 a few years back. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it's hard to beat the grill.
Absolutely. All right, there you go. Free plug for them. Coach, we appreciate your time. Good luck tonight in trying to wrap up the region. And obviously, we're going to be tracking you throughout the playoffs, and we'll stay in touch with you, Coach.
Hey, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for having us on and letting us promote the Cavaliers for a few minutes.
Of course. More Four Quarter Friday after this. And we are trying to roll out quickly because this is a big day to celebrate. Inside the Gamecocks is next. New partnership with On3 for both here with us at Four Quarter Friday and everybody across the Chief Sports Network, including Inside the Gamecocks. I do want to mention as we roll out of here in the last few seconds, Chesney softball defeated Blacksburg 10-2 last night. Sixth straight region title, okay? Chesney has won six straight region titles in softball. We don't want to forget about softball. We're going to be tracking them. We will be retweeting on X as well, everything we find out there. Trip Fogle has built something special up there in Chesney. Also, Chesney baseball, by the way, last night claimed their Region 1 2A crown, beating Liberty 7-3. They finish up 11-1 in league play. So much to cover. For Rob Williams, I'm Matt Smith. Time for Inside the Gamecocks, freshly minted as part of On3 in the Chief Sports Network.